following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth has us on the road again. We're back with our friends at Bandits, Tim and the gang here. I think they finally recovered from Sports Nightly and all the music they've had. They've got more of that coming up, and they got all the soccer taken care of since we last spoke here, and we're diving into football season, and it's real exciting. Don't forget tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show, it's our Big Red Roundtable. Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock. We will go for about a half an hour talking nothing but Husker football, previewing the upcoming season, getting their thoughts. They're as close to the program as anybody. Sean's taking care of a lot of the recruiting. Sip as close to Bo as you can be. And, of course, Mike Babcock, the senior historian when it comes to media folks with Hail Varsity and our Hail Varsity program every afternoon, 4 to 6, here on ESPN. Today, we're going to cover a whole gamut of sports. American Legion Baseball, the state tournaments get going on Saturday. Class B and C juniors wrapped up last night. Hickman winning Class B down the road at Aurora. They beat Waverly. They went undefeated and won last night's championship game 10-7. And Louisville, they won back-to-back championships last night, and they had to win twice. And I'll tell you what, when you get this deep, 4-0 over Battle Creek, 2-0 over Creighton. What pitching performance is that deep in the tournament? So congratulations to Louisville. And unfortunately, as once again our co-host Steve Anderson from Fauner Park, I read this morning that bad news for the city of Louisville. They want to go back. They want to celebrate. And the place they go is called the Good Times Bar in Louisville. It burned to the ground yesterday. and a place I've been in, a fun little place, fun little town. And so you're celebrating on one end, and then a place where you go and eat and have fun and have a few frosty beverages. So then a small community like that. And we've had way too many fires here lately all over the place.
Well, I'm trying to think then. Why do they go over to the Game and Parks area on the other side of the road to celebrate, or do they move this thing into Omaha?
I think they go in. I should remember the name of it, but they've got a nice little kind of a bar right there on the river, on the edge of Louisville, where they have some fun, eat, drinks, and people go out and rest on the sandbars and have a good small town evening.
Well, they've
there.
Got other options, and they've also got that Quarry Oaks golf course with a nice joint attached to it, which have you ever played that son of a gun?
Because oh, yeah.
It brought me to my knees and really broke my spirit for the game. I've given
your
it up.
Your putt-putt at Skate Island brings me to my knees.
Yeah,
what are you talking about? Are you kidding me?
Hey, thanks for the re-invite. When I listen to the list of co-hosts you have, especially what's coming on tomorrow, I'm amazed you find a shoehorn big enough to squeeze me into this seat.
Well, it is great to have you, and I always appreciate chat with you a little bit. We've got real exciting time here with Legion Baseball. Joe Wells, who I think has coached almost every kid in Grand Island over the last 25 years. Grand Island Five Points Juniors, we're going to talk with him. I'm going to do my best. We're efforting. We're trying to get solidified because Grand Island, Hastings, Kearney are all in the senior state tournament. Going to get about 5 minutes, if it works out, with each coach early tomorrow with Coach Kindig and Coach Martinez and Coach Archer, who have been doing this for years and years and years. And we'll talk with them early on the show tomorrow. Then we'll get into the Husker Roundtable. But not only is Joe here today, our Big Ten preview takes us to Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Jeff Patricus will join us. And you've got a special treat for us in our last segment today. Marv Johnson is got all the accolades when it comes to horse training, and it's not just what he's done here, but he's out in Indiana right now.
Yeah, I sure hope that my communication skills come together and we get Marvy on over the latter portion of this hour, because he now is on a 2.5-year wave. He absolutely, everything he touches turns to gold, and it has continued right into the middle of the Indiana Grand season, formerly Indiana Downs. Marvy's his second leading trainer, and he's running up against the best, Steve Asmussen, Tom Amos, Michael Maker. I mean, these aren't the Milt Gaidys and the Chuck Turcos of the world, taking nothing against away from either one of those guys, because they're longtime acquaintances, and Chuck's a good friend of mine. But Marv has risen to the occasion. He's not given up on Nebraska thoroughbred horse racing, but boy, I'll tell you, he's gone up a couple of levels, and over the course of 10, 11 years, he's figured out how to make this thing work, and he's drug along a lot of local owners that we'll probably get into as well, if in fact Marv shows up as scheduled. We get to visit with him later on this morning.
Well, glad to have you along with us on the program today. If you'd like to contact us, and remember this number, because we'll be giving away tickets to the Demolition Derby, the Ultimate Bull Riding going on this weekend at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can always tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. That's at ESPN 1460 1550. And the Debt Popper inbox for all of your emails, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And Monday and Tuesday, don't forget, we're in Chicago for a Big Ten Media Day. So we're looking for fun. It's going to be fun, and always a good time catching up with coaches and players from around the Big Ten Conference and Maryland, and, of course, Rutgers coming in. But right now, let's go ahead and talk a little Legion baseball. Steve, you've been around Grand Island, Kearney, doesn't matter if it's the junior team, the senior team, they continue to win, win, win. And the Class A division over here, neither team has double-digit losses in Grand Island.
Yeah, it's amazing, but it's not by accident. And Legion Baseball has always been very close to my heart. In fact, you probably don't know this, Doug, but I was on the 1969 midget team, and now that would be the junior division. State champions back there, coached by the one and only Gene Wells, the father of Joe Wells. And so we go way back. And when he showed his lovely face here this morning, I really bristled, because I have so much admiration for what this family has brought to Grand Island over, five, six, seven decades of baseball that has been deeply ingrained into the lifestyle, the heritage of Grand Island, and Mr. Wells and the Wells family, and there's a bunch of them, have been an integral part of that.
Joe, you feel old?
I feel old because I am old, Doug. But I do remember when Steve played, and I remember when they won the state title in Ralston back in 69. And I was the lowly bat boy, but it was as big a thrill in 69 for me as it was for Steve. And I know until my dad's dying day, he talked about that team. In fact, he real close with Steve and really close with a lot of the players on it. And incidentally, 6 months before he died, they threw a reunion.
Yeah, 40-year reunion.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And everybody came back for the most part. It was a heck of a deal, and I know he appreciated it, and the family will always remember that 69
team. Well, let me kind of just take that to the next level here, because in this day and age, and we've been talking about baseball, and I don't want to say dying out because I don't think it's dying out. We may be losing some of the Legion teams in the summer. Grand Island still fortunate enough to have two juniors, two seniors teams. Kearney lost one of their seniors teams. Hastings is down a one here over the last couple of years, and it's fluctuated in Fremont and Columbus, where they've had a couple of teams as well. But it seems to me, if you've grown up around it, if you're introduced at it, and I don't mean competitively, but we talk about coaches' kids. We talk about bat boys. You've done it with your sons. Not everybody, not every dad, not every mom, especially in this day and age, can have that opportunity to get their kid to the ballpark. What's some of the ways that you can introduce the young kids to have fun at baseball without it necessarily being, you know, we're practicing 2 hours, three times a week, and we got five games a week and things like that?
You know, that you make a great point, Doug, because – for the most part, I know in Grand Island, Hastings, and Kearney, all the sports, basketball, football, track, they share athletes. And, you know, it seems like unless you have high school baseball, which Grand Island does, Hastings and Kearney doesn't, that's the first one to go. And if you're a kid making a choice, you're going to play football or basketball. And it's difficult to keep that interest, you know, and in a lot of ways, the select baseball or the tournament baseball has taken over. Kearney was probably the last to jump in on that. Now the, as a result, then, you know, though their Little League program or has still flourished, yeah. Where in Grand Island, you know, we have a number of different organizations for a number of different age groups. And our Little League has declined. And I think we probably lose a lot of interest because of that and because of, you know, as kids get older and as the idea becomes to specialize in a certain sport, that baseball, because it is, you know, primarily a summer gig, probably is the first one to go. So interest wanes, I think.
Every coach has a different philosophy, but you've been with the seniors for a long time. You've taken the junior program now, and you're headed to state in Elkhorn on Saturday, and we'll jump into that here next. But, I mean, what is it, 11 straight area titles for home federal? Kearney runs and gets 8 in a row. I know Hastings and North Platte would like to, you know, flatten your bus tires here a couple of times, and some of the teams, like you guys have Columbus and Fremont in your area. I'm still amazed. Why? How? How can that possibly happen year after year after year? Because you're not playing slugs. I mean, they have good programs, but you win and you do it fairly convincingly lately.
Well, you know, you made a great point, Doug. I think Home Federal has 8 losses. We have 9 losses. And during the course of the year, we play good people. You know, our schedule is tough. You know, that Home Federal deal, 11 straight area titles, and I don't know how many 5 points in Wells Fargo have won over, you know, very much under Kevin Keir. But it is amazing, and, you know, kids work hard, and I'm a true believer that high school baseball has helped. You know, what's better than 100 at-bats? 200. So you know, that gives us an advantage. It gives us a quick start in the summer. Tino does a great job with those kids. Glad to have him back. It's just a deal where baseball's important. You know, we're a baseball town, have been for a long time. I think we're also a football town. So we have great kids. We have great coaches, and it's equaled success.
Joe Wells is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, the head coach of the junior team. It goes by Grand Island 5 Points. They're headed to the state tournament. We're at Bandit. Stop by, enjoy some lunch, and have a good weekend here as well. Steve-O, you want to pick his brain here a little bit?
Well, I don't know where to start. First and foremost, as far as those feeder programs, and which seems to me, and the purpose when it was first initiated 25 years ago, Joe, was to just make better ball players down the road for you guys when you got your hands on them. They're better fundamentally. They've stood the test of time now and have shown not only their parents, their previous coaches, but now the guys that take them once they get into their teen years, that they're willing to make the commitment and play a lot of games in a short period of time. It takes a special person and a special mom and dad also to make this thing work, but it has succeeded. The one thing that discourages me, because now of all the flourishment of all these feeder programs, especially here in Grand Island, is also a factor in the equation is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, the Little League program somewhere along the line here in Grand Island decided to go to a no-compete philosophy. Now, I grew up in the Little League program here in Grand Island. I can tell you, and Joe's just barely old enough maybe to remember when I was 10, 11, 12, we play over at Grace Abbott Park, and the North Side, South Side City Championships were so big, they carried them live on the local radio station. It went right up there to the Little Bigger League, so on and so forth. I don't know how anyone at any age, in this day and age especially, can go out and play baseball and not want to keep some sort of score. That's all part of the learning process of growing up and becoming a man or a woman or whatever the case may be. Now, can I get off my soapbox? Am I wrong about this, Joe?
Well, I don't think you're wrong. Of course, you're talking to a individual and a family that's ultra competitive too. So
no,
so, yeah,
no.
Right. So, Doug. So I agree with you 100%, Steve. And I think maybe that's part of the reason why our Little League program is not as strong as it once was. But you know, like you say, when you say a commitment by family and a commitment by the kid, I know these select baseball teams are playing 60, 70. I know my oldest son, Brooks, 12-year-old year, they were 77-10, so they played 87 games.
That's amazing.
So,
and we're done by this time of year almost.
Yeah.
Well, that's
yeah.
another hard thing to get used to. Yeah. July 1st, before the Independence Day, everybody's gone home for the summer.
It's time for vacation. That's just, you know, it's time for vacation.
I just can't hardly accept that.
Well, but the good news is, Steve-O, is a lot of the teams now are still playing, and let's talk about your team this year, Joe, and working with juniors as compared to seniors. You've had a very, very good year, and boy, when you can get good pitching at this young of age and guys that can hit and get it this young, you guys have just had a great season. Let's start with the area tournament. You went right through it. You even got a little bit of a battle from the second Grand Island team, which I know you guys hate having to play each other, but yeah, that's the way that works. Just talk about the way you played here in the area tournament.
You know, in the area tournament, we pitched really well. And you know, we gave up 6 runs in 5 games. Our first 2 games were shutouts. We beat the Fremont B team quite badly and then played Gretna, coached by Kearneyite Jake Wolf, who does a great job with them, and he did a great job that day. We win that game 3-0. Excuse me, and obviously pitched very well that game. And then, you know, other than that, was the only game offensively we struggled. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have a very sound approach at the plate, and we're only able to get 3 runs, and lucky we pitched well enough for that to be enough. But other than that, I think we scored 12, 13 and 12. So we're swinging the bat pretty good right now, and we've swung it all year long really well.
talk about some of the kids that are leading you in both places, and then we'll probably get to what you have for a rotation this weekend. But offensively, who's some of the kids that are leading the way for you?
You know, our leadoff hitter, Blake Cohen, and he's a little wrestler guy who plays center field for us, and he leads off. He's on base percentage is just a shade over six, mm-hmm. and he's hitting about 397 right now also. So he sets the table for us, and then we're pretty good. We got big old strong physical kids. We have at least 8 or 10 kids who play football who are of great size and strength for 16-year-old kids. We have Gavin Gregg, who goes about 6'3", 255. He's driven in 45 runs. He's hitting 445. He's also one of our best pitchers. You know, Ryan Krolikowski, who is, along with my youngest son, Kirby, is probably the oddest offensive tackle, first baseman / pitcher. You know, not many offensive tackles play baseball around Grand Island, but Kirby and Ryan Krolikowski is also a kid that's hitting 385. He's about 6'3", 240. So we don't, you know, we don't look a whole lot like a junior club, like you want to call them juniors. But then we, Keenan Kettler, our right fielder, is hitting 385. And as a team, we're hitting 361. So up and down the order, 1 through 9, we're swinging it pretty well. And on the mound, Gavin is 7-0. Brendan Barnes is 7-0. Matt Lamb is 5-1. Probably the arguably the ace of our staff is 3-4, and he Trey Kissick, and he has drawn, you know, the ace of each team staff, and he's thrown in all our league games, and sometimes we haven't defended very well when he's been on the bump, but he's also our shortstop, hitting about 365. So all those kids have thrown really, really well for us. We're deep. You know, we have 4 or 5 guys that have gone deep in games. Our team ERA is a shade over 1.8.
Wow.
So all our kids are getting deep into games, and we haven't had to rely on the bullpen too much.
Joe Wells with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're live in Grand Island at Bandits. Doug Duda, Steve Anderson with you today. Is Trey going to get the start and tell us about the first game with Elkhorn and the bracket here?
Well, we're at the bottom of the bracket. We get the host. And obviously, it's the only team that did not win its area. So, 7 o'clock game. I'm sure there'll be, you know, some fans come out for them, and that's fine. But I think we'll probably, you know, like I say, Trey plays shortstop, and in Legion baseball, I continually had this argument with my dad, Steve, that other than the mound, shortstop's the most important position. And Trey's our shortstop, so we'll probably start Gavin on the mound and then come back to Trey. And we have Matt, again, like I say, we have Matt Lamb, who's 5-0, and Brendan Barnes, who's also 7-0. So we're set rotation-wise. I think we'll probably, you know, right now Brooks is at a basketball refereeing camp in Louisville, so we haven't had a chance to talk yet. But he likes to weigh in. He likes to weigh in on the pitching rotation, and I let him speak, and then I do what I want to do.
I was wondering what the pecking order of this Wells gang scenario was all about. I assume the old man Joe made all the final decisions, but he's alluded to the fact, obviously, his sons Kirby and Brooks are his two assistants, and I can see where there's could be some fireworks along the way. They're a couple of pretty headstrong kids anyway. But you still, the final line belongs in your corner, right?
It does. You know, I can't.
Whether they know it or not.
I can't catch either one of them, so sometimes they go off on their own and try to make a decision. But you know, both of them done great. Kirby coaches our pitchers, and Brooks coaches our catchers and infielders, which makes sense. And they've done a great job, and you know, they're both pretty knowledgeable and both very, very good with kids. You know, they're both on the Grand Island football staff, or Brooks was. He also retired. But they do a great job, and they're a good sounding board, and they'll get their 2 cents in before the first pitch is thrown.
And Joe, we'll let you out of here with this one. Just kind of the field overall. Obviously, a lot of the fans, probably not extremely outside of the parents, know a lot about the rest of the teams here. How do you feel you stack up, and maybe who do you have your eye on as the best team outside of you guys?
You know, Doug, the KB building is Omaha West Side, and Millard West is in the tournament. And you know what they're – you know, they're just like we are. Their seniors are always good, and they have to get their seniors from somewhere. So obviously, their junior teams are also very good. Omaha Scut, I think, always is representative. You know, they play B in the spring and A in the summer. Lincoln Carpetland from Lincoln East is a very good team. They're on top of the bracket. And if North Platte is able to beat Hastings, who was the overwhelming favor of that area twice, then they're pretty handy. So, you know, it'll be a strong tournament. And unlike the senior one where there's 16 teams, you know, there's only 8. So there's, you know, there's 7 area champions. So you had to get her done long before the tournament ended. So it'll be tough. Like I say, West Side and Millard West are always ultra competitive.
Well, it all starts for Grand Island 5 Points Juniors, 7 o'clock Saturday night, as they take on Elkhorn South, the host team, and then double elimination tournament runs all the way through July the 30th, when the championship game will be held. And Joe, hopefully, your kids and your staff will be coaching on that last day of the season. So get rid of that Yankees T-shirt, and then I'll talk to you again sometime.
Thank you. I can see Marv's not here. If you want me to stick around for my horse racing prowess.
Well, I would like to have him stick around because he likes me. I want to hire him as an agent. He really likes me. But, Joe, we'll all be rooting for you, you know that. And what a symbolic moment it would be if you could pull it off and win the state championship with your junior team, because it would mark 45 years since your dad pulled off that trick in 1969, which was the summer that man first walked on the moon. That was the only other significant thing that happened that year.
Grand That's Island exactly Midgets right. and the moon.
Absolutely.
45 years ago, and then 5 years later, the midget team, I played on one.
Yep.
So 40
yep.
and 45, that'd be a good...
I hope the cards are stacked in your guys' favor.
Thank you very much,
Joe. Doug, thanks for the
thank
time.
Thank you, Steve. You bet.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're live at Bandits in Grand Island. Stop by, enjoy some lunch, enjoy the air conditioning, enjoy a good talk. We'll be here until the top of the hour, and we wish Grand Island the best of luck. And again, we'll run down those brackets here in a little bit, but we need to take a break. Don't forget, as always, happy hour here at Bandits, 4 to 6, Sunday through Friday. You can stop in, enjoy your favorite ice-cold beverages, get some great deals on those as well. $2 domestics, $2 pints, $2.50 mugs here at Bandits during happy hour. We'll be back to talk Wisconsin football, our Big Ten preview with Jeff Patricus of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Marv Johnson, horse trainer and extraordinaire at the end of the show. Plus, as we go into the break here, we've got some giveaways. We've got some giveaways. Maybe we should do some giveaways. Jeff says, do some giveaways. Producer Jeff says, give some stuff away. All right, let's do it. I have got a pair of tickets to the Ultra Bull Riding at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, which is coming up on Sunday. All you have to do is be caller number 5 at 888-455-ESPN. If you haven't won anything from us this week, you're eligible. 888-455-3776. In fact, we'll give you a choice. If you want Demolition Derby tickets for Saturday, you can have them. If you want the bull riding tickets for Sunday, you can have them. Call now, and we'll be back to talk Wisconsin football after this.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Funner Park.
Time out for lunch today at Funner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Choose from a fantastic menu of burgers, sandwiches, wraps, and baskets. Enjoy full bar service, play Keno, and wager on Coast to Coast Racing, now including Woodbine in Toronto and Charlestown in West Virginia. Nonstop action begins at lunchtime at the Finish Line, number one for food and fun.
Yeah. So you work late, golf, played ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, I got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Since 1947, Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating has called Central Nebraska home. When you grow with a community that long, you want to give something back. So Anderson Brothers is giving away a new Central air conditioning system to a deserving family. Help us find the right family. Send emails to sales@andersonbros.com or call us at 236-6437. Nominations must be received by August 1st. The Central air conditioner giveaway from Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating in Kearney and Holdridge.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Here's your WeatherEye forecast powered by weatherology.com. Sunny and breezy for today. Highs top out near 92 degrees. Wind south 10 to 25 miles per hour. Higher gusts are possible at times. Right now it's 79.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Oh, tonight, Buffalo County Fairgrounds, the big concert event of this year. Little Big Town, the featured act tonight out at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. You can still squeeze in there, get some tickets. They've got some standing room only. Check and see if there's still a few in the grandstands by the fairgrounds or pickmytickets.com. Check that out. Buffalo County Fairgrounds tonight, Little Big Town. It's going to be a great, great time. And have some fun out there, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow. We congratulate John from Gothenburg. He's the winner of the Ultimate Bull Riding tickets for Sunday night. We'll have more tickets to give away tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. As we're live here, and I'm a little scared, at Bandits. I haven't been scared yet, but it's National Tequila Day. Steve, I'm scared.
Well, you should be scared from your track history. Which I'm not very knowledgeable about, but I did offer a place to hang. If you need a room overnight, you don't need to go wandering down the street here to one of the local motels. I just live about a mile away from here, and the basement could be all yours, buddy.
It is National Tequila Day, and they are celebrating it here at Bandit Sports Bar and Grill. $3 margaritas on the rocks, $2 tequila sunrises all day long right here at Bandits, and we've got more great specials over the weekend. Their lunch special today, giant slice of Sax's pizza and a Pepsi, only $4.99, and we've got specials going on this weekend. We'll talk more about that, but celebrate National Tequila Day here at Bandits Sports Bar and Grill. Folks, don't forget, as we head to Big Ten Media Days in Chicago Monday and Tuesday, we'll be taken care of with our gear from Misco Sports. It's worldwide headquarters in Ord with their new owners, Steve Steve, Jeremy, and Megan. If you're in the area, stop by and say hi. But remember, you can always take care of your family Husker gear needs. They also carry ASICS footwear for the entire family. So the same great people that have been serving you for decades and doing the job and making you happy and taking care of football gear and baseball gear and your Husker gear, it's all there at Misco Sports Worldwide Headquarters in Ord. But now, it's time to talk Big Ten football.
It's that time, 14 teams in 14 days, leading you up to Big Ten Media Days July 28th and 29th in Chicago. We'll preview a different team each day. We'll head to the Big Ten West Division for today's team.
Wisconsin.
The Badgers.
It's time for 14 teams in 14 days now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
And the Doug and Daddy Show, 14 teams in 14 days. It's team number 13, and it seems to be the most competitive team with Nebraska, at least as getting to Nebraska goals, and they haven't really been able to finish those off over the last few years here in the Big Ten. Wisconsin, they've always been there. They're getting ready for the second year under Gary Anderson, and we go to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. Jeff Patricus joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug, due to Steve Anderson with you. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Great, guys. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm looking forward to getting to Chicago, and I want to start with I'm reading all these publications. I'm going through my work here to try and see what's going on. And Wisconsin, nobody's talking about them. A lot of people have them at the top, maybe favored to win the West, but they're not talking about them. They're not saying that, hey, this is a team that can win it all. This is a team that can make the playoffs this year by winning the Big Ten Conference. Do you guys have that sense as well? And is it okay if it's a little quiet going into preseason?
Yeah, I don't think the players care one way or the other if either locally or regionally or nationally they're considered a threat to win the Big Ten title, qualify for the 14 playoff. I mean, I think part of the reason is they have, you know, a number of questions that have to be answered. You know, who's going to play quarterback for them? Who's going to start? Is their quarterback play going to be more consistent? They've got basically a brand new front seven this year defensively. So, you know, how's that going to hold up against quality offenses? The games they lost last year, they gave up 30 points in four games, lost all four. A lot of big pass plays in those games, so they've got to be better in the back end. So they've got a lot of questions answered before they can start worrying about championships.
Jeff, how much of it was new coaching staff, maybe a little bit of new philosophy and terminology, and how much of it was a talent deal for the way Wisconsin played last year?
I thought the transition with the new coaching staff was actually excellent, considering that the predecessor, Brett Bielema, who's now down at Arkansas, really left those guys in a lurch. I mean, he left unexpectedly and you know, hurt some feelings on the way out. So I thought the transition was smooth. I thought in the games they lost, they just didn't have guys in the back end to make plays on the ball. They didn't get as much of a pass rush as they had hoped to. Part of that was maybe a little scheme, the coach not knowing, the defensive coordinator not knowing exactly what he had to work with. They're going to probably be a little bit lighter, quicker in the front seven this year than they were a year ago. At least that's their intent. So I think it's a combination, but mostly they didn't make plays in the back end, and they had guys in position to make plays. It wasn't that there were a lot of blown coverages for them. They only had one game where I thought their scheme was a problem, where their defensive staff didn't have their guys prepared. Now it's a loss to Penn State in the regular season finale.
Jeff, Steve Anderson here, a UNL grad, a guy that actually interviewed Barry Alvarez when he was the head coach at Lexington High School in 1976. My, how things have changed. But I know that it's never been any secret that Mr. Alvarez, who was also a Husker grad, basically patterned the program up there so successfully after the University of Nebraska, so much so that some of us even think when we see your colors and your monogram and everything, it so closely resembles his upbringing in the Nebraska program. Now you've gone through the transition. Barry's teams always seem to be symbolic and kind of pattern themselves after Bob Devaney. Do you see the next regime carrying on in the same manner?
Well,
hit him in the mouth kind of a ball club.
Yeah, the number one thing they're going to do, the recruiting hasn't changed in terms of they know they can get really good linemen from the state of Wisconsin. Okay, they're going to want a power running game. Now, Gary Anderson and offensive coordinator Andy Ludwig are looking through their recruiting. You can tell they're trying to go with quarterbacks who can run and throw. You know, they don't want a guy who's just going to run the option. They want a dual threat, as Russell Wilson was here his 1 year at Wisconsin in 2011. So that's a little bit different. They're trying to get much more speed on defense across the board from front end to back end than they had in the past. That's going to be an interesting transition. The foundation's going to be the same. There's going to be some tweaks, you know, on the periphery that you'll be able to notice. But it shouldn't be a dramatic change as Gary Anderson really incorporates more and more of his recruits into the program.
And the similarities, at least for this year, on paper, appear to be there even more. Nebraska and Wisconsin have the preseason first-team all-conference running backs. They both have questions at quarterback, as Jeff alluded to there. The defense is expected to be pretty strong on both sides. About the only difference, at least on the surface, would be wide receivers. Nebraska's crew looks like it's going to be a lot more experienced and maybe better than what Wisconsin has. So just going back to that, is Stavi still the man? What are they going to do to get some offense to help Melvin Gordon out?
Well, the question at quarterback will be determined in camp. Stavi injured his AC joint in his right shoulder in the bowl loss to South Carolina. Didn't have surgery, just rested it. But then in the spring, they shut him down for the last week because he was having discomfort in the shoulder. So he's got to have a good camp, in my opinion, to hold off Tanner McAvoy, who's a junior college transfer who played a year ago at safety, but he was a quarterback. And he was given the ability to play quarterback in the spring, showed improvement. If he has a good camp, he's going to compete for the job. He's got to throw the ball consistently enough for them, but he can really run. McAvoy can. He's a really athletic quarterback, and they want some guy who can put stress on the defense, both as a passer and as a runner. And McAvoy would be able to do that much better than Stavi. It just depends on whether he can throw the ball consistently enough. Joel's still the starter, but he's got to have a good camp, in my opinion, to hold on to that job.
And flipping that, I mentioned that your defense could have some strengths, especially in the secondary, but they've got some holes, as you mentioned, on the line, in the linebacking core. Which one's a bigger concern right now, do you think?
Probably just the whole front seven, because you lost four of your top six linemen. You lost several linebackers led by Chris Borland. You know, they don't have anybody who's going to replace Chris Borland. And depth could be an issue at linebacker. Now, they're going to, in my opinion, they're going to really have a lot of, not so much personnel groupings on defense, but you might see different guys coming in to accentuate their strengths on different downs at certain positions. They're going to try to get more out of their guys. Like Marcus Trotter might be one of their inside linebackers. He's really good against the run, really good, you know, between the tackles, but can't play on space. So he'll be in on some downs, and then maybe he won't be in on other downs or against other teams. So you're going to see a lot of mixing and matching this year, but big question marks in both in the front seven, and they need a second safety. They definitely need a second safety, and they don't know who that's going to be yet.
Jeff, is there a sense of urgency to be quick off the mark this year? I'm looking at your schedule, and you have to open with LSU. Now, after that, you have about a month of the Little Sisters of the Poor, but you got to come with your A game right out of the chute.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a sense of urgency so much as I know when I talked to the guys in the spring, it was a game they were already excited about. You know, one of their assistant coaches with his position group, he'd pop in video, you know, in their meeting sessions. Also, he'd pop in LSU video just to kind of whet their appetite a little bit. So it's one of those things where when you know you're going to play a marquee opponent from marquee league at a neutral site on a national stage, it's something to really point to open the season. It's not so much like, you know, we want to take down LSU because we don't like them. It's like, you know, we're going to be on a national stage. We want to show the country we can play well. So they're really excited about that as far back as the spring.
A couple of minutes left here with Jeff Patricus of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking Wisconsin football as we get ready for Big Ten Media Days here on the Doug and Daddy Show starting Monday in Chicago. Bowling Green, though, MAC preseason, it came out yesterday. They're the preseason favorite, South Florida, but at least they're at home for Wisconsin. Then they have Northwestern, Illinois, Maryland, Rutgers. The strength that would seem in the conference would be maybe towards the end, but, you know, Wisconsin doesn't have Ohio State, Michigan State. It is a favorable schedule, Jeff.
Well, to be honest with you, I pick Iowa to win the division because Iowa has the best schedule, in my opinion, because they avoid the better teams from, or the projected teams to be better in the East, and they get both Nebraska and Wisconsin at home. So I think this is the year that if I'm Iowa, if you don't win it this year, you got to wonder when you're going to win it. Because this is, for example, Wisconsin, this will be the third consecutive time they go to Iowa in the series. It's just a quirk in the scheduling. And I know Iowa won in Lincoln last year, so you know, I'm sure the Nebraska kids will want to make a statement there, but, you know, that's not an easy place to play, similar to the way Nebraska is. So Iowa's got the schedule set up to win the division. They've got a returning quarterback, a guy who's played. They've got big questions at linebacker, though, and they need to run the ball more effectively. But the schedule says that they should win the division.
And, Jeff, I was reading in one of your articles here just in the last week, the program had some players leave. Is that a big deal?
Well, they had the biggest deal, quite frankly, was two of their five wide receivers they signed in February are not going to be in school for various reasons. One, he was qualified academically under NCAA standards, but he didn't have some things that needed to get him into Wisconsin academically, so he's not going to be there. Second kid basically got homesick, a kid who had a real tough upbringing. So they need help at wide receiver. That gives them two fewer options of the young kids coming in that they were depending on to try to get in the rotation. So that hurts because that just gives you – it cuts down your chances that someone's going to be able to come in and become a playmaker for you. The other kids who left, probably not as much. Just the two freshman wide receivers who are coming in, they really were depending on.
Jeff, any other off-season story that the general Big Ten fan, I mean, that Wisconsin knows all about, but maybe somebody else needs to know about as far as players, coaches, or something off the field this year for Wisconsin?
Well, you know, I know everyone's always asking about Melvin Gordon in the running game and that. You know, he's a legitimate Heisman Trophy potential candidate. You know, it's so early to be talking about that, but I don't know how much Melvin Gordon, you know, I don't think Gordon is going to carry the ball 90% of the time for Wisconsin. They've got another back, Corey Clement, who played as a freshman last year. And I think Clement and Gordon are going to, not split carries, but have similar workloads to how it was set up last year with Gordon and senior James White. They were a very effective duo. They set the record for running back 10 or two players for FBS for rushing yards in a season with more than 3,000. And so even though Melvin Gordon is the guy and everyone recognizes him, I think Corey Clement is going to give them a legitimate second threat, and people defensively are going to have to worry about more than one running back.
Hey, Jeff, just a personal question here, and I'll probably get the trap door will open up and they'll let me disappear. So if there's some silence here quickly, you'll know what happened. I met a writer from the Milwaukee Sentinel Journal 10, 11 years ago down at Tampa Bay Downs. A guy he loved thoroughbred horse racing, which has been my avocation for quite some time now. His name was Chuck. I've forgotten his last name over the course of time, and I haven't seen Chuck the last two or three years. I know he wrote sports for your paper. Do you know who I'm talking about, and is he still around?
Was it Chuck Salaturo, short guy, squat, black hair, glasses?
No.
Okay. Then I don't know what to tell you.
He might have been focusing on the high school scene, quite frankly, but you're not the first person to relay that information. Maybe Chuck never wrote for you guys. I don't know.
Well,
we had a Chuck Salaturo and a Charles Gardner.
Well, we're going to have to Google. That's what we're going to have to do, Steve. We're just going to
Google. I think you're going to have to hire a private investigator and really get out of it.
Chuck may have not been cracked up to be what he wanted all of us to believe that he was. Thank you so much, though.
Hey, Jeff, last question.
All right, guys.
Are the Brewers going to make the playoffs?
I've been jousting with a local radio guy who's a big fan of the team, and I insist that they're going to fade and not make the playoffs.
Well, I owned Brewer gear when I was a little kid, and always like to see those guys win some games up there. Jeff, we'll let you get back to work. Hope to see you at Media Days, and thanks for the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care. Jeff Patricus of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel as we look at Wisconsin here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And it's interesting. Maybe I think he answered every general question I had about Wisconsin. I think people are penciling in Wisconsin because they are Wisconsin. They are the most successful year in and year out. And sorry, Nebraska fan, they just are, obviously, making continuous Big Ten championship games until last year. But they only have three returning defensive starters. It is almost impossible to believe that they're going to have a lot of success. And if they can't answer this quarterback position, I think that's Jimmy Langan, Phil Steele. Yeah, I said them in the same sentence, same breath. I think that's why a lot of people are giving hope to Northwestern, because I think, and Jeff just said it, he's taking Iowa to win the division. Nebraska fans don't want to hear that. Iowa finishes with Wisconsin and Nebraska. I mean, they could run the table when we talked Iowa. They could run the table almost. Maybe one loss coming into those two games if Iowa's as good as a lot of people think that they will be.
Well, you know, I have a lot more hope because, of course, I've got family up in Wisconsin, so I have to choose my words carefully. But I think they've established themselves now. They may only have three Lettermen coming back on defense, but they make a whole lot of big white guys up there. And I think it's just a matter of reloading. I think they will take advantage, just like Nebraska did for years. They're not a flashy, fancy team. They're physical. They're the typical what we grew accustomed to when I was a kid of 3 yards and a cloud of dust in the Big Ten Conference. Man, they will hit you in the mouth.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're live at Bandit Sports Bar and Grill in Grand Island. Come on by, enjoy some lunch. Don't forget this weekend, $2 Jell-O shots all weekend long. And today, National Tequila Day, $3 margaritas on the rocks, $2 tequila sunrises. When we come back, we'll talk a little horse racing with Marv Johnson. Andy from Midway with us here as the Buffalo County Fair is going on, and Midway Auto Dealerships are there coming off cruise night, getting ready for a great weekend. Got Little Big Town tonight. Can't wait for that concert. But it's not just the concerts. It's not just the exhibits. It's not just the carnival. In fact, Andy, you guys are everywhere out there.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. You know, you just get me around a place that I can go buy a big old like chicken leg or something like that, or a turkey leg. I said, I'm all in.
Corn dog and lemonade, baby.
Corn dog and lemonade, yeah. No, it's a great time. We always look forward to it each and every year. It's a lot of work for us, but, you know, we understand it's nothing surprising. We do it every year. We really like to be involved, and we really see the dividends that are paid on the sales. I always talk about this to my guys whenever we're talking about the fair. I grew up 7 miles outside of Aurora, and, you know, Aurora always had the county fair, and it was always a big deal as a kid. You know, you'd get jacked up as a kid, you know. You'd go ahead and save, you know, whatever little bit of money you could scrounge up, and you'd go into town, and you'd always try and spend, you know, $20 playing the skeet ball or whatever, and so you could get some teddy bear that was like the size of your shoe, or, you know, and it is. It's a big deal out there, and that's what I think is so cool about Central Nebraska. That's one of the reasons that I want to move back to this part of the community 5.5 years ago was, you know, these things that were important to me as a child, important to me growing up, they're still important now today. And I think it's really cool that people are going to be driving in from 20, 30 miles away to come to this county fair. You know, you start talking about, like, the concert, for instance, tonight. I mean, you know, I think they're one of the most highly rated groups in America. You know, this isn't something where it's like, hey, we're going to bring in this little group and have – they're legit CMT, American Country Music Awards, all that good jazz. But that's the thing, and that's one reason that we're behind this deal is because it's a community thing, it's a Tri-Cities thing, and we want everybody to understand that if you're in Buffalo County, that we really want to go ahead and let you know that we're thankful for everything that's happened. And we're going to be busy. We're still going to be selling cars. We've got about 20 vehicles still sitting down there. We've been selling a ton of cars lately. We always have pretty good success. It really helps when it's called the Midway Buffalo County Fair. You get some great exposure. So I'll tell you what, if you've never experienced the way that Midway does business, get on down here. Come see Chad Randall's. Come see Heath Phillips at the Chevrolet store and Chad down at the Chrysler store. Or just stop out there, take a look. Maybe you might have the one that you need, the 19 cars sitting out there right now.
Don't forget the Chevy Summer Drive event going on as well. 0% for 60 months on 2014 Cruises, Malibus, Impalas, and a 0% APR 72 months if you've got a need for a 2014 Silverado Light or heavy-duty pickup. This runs through the end of the month. I have to ask you, since it's a little big time tonight, has anyone ever traded in a pontoon to you guys?
We have a motto. We'll trade for it as long as we don't have to feed it. So that eliminates, you know, livestock and kids. So we're cool. Everything else with that.
Well, I'll let you get back to work, Andy. Always great to see you. Enjoy the fair, man.
Hey, thanks, Doug. Appreciate
Andy from the Midway Auto Dealership with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And we'll be back with more right after this.
What does success look like for you? Maybe it's time to start something new at Complete Nutrition, a clean, comfortable place where you can discuss your health and nutritional needs on a personal level. It's more than just a store. It's an experience. Want a supplement plan that works with your lifestyle? It's all here at your Complete Nutrition store. Sometimes it's a short-term fix you need. Ladies, get ready to rock that hideous bridesmaid dress. Yup, it's 2 weeks away and it's sleeveless. Good thing there's Trim 10, a quick 10-day solution to help you lose that last 5 to 10 pounds of water weight fast. Get Trim 10 only at your Complete Nutrition store. Complete Nutrition. Success starts here.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
The following sponsors are proud to support the area youth involved with the Area County Fair 4-H and Livestock Auctions. Aurora Co-op with a location near you. Hand Machining in Pleasanton. One Bank in Minden. Pleasanton Irrigation. CHS Agri-Service Center. Family Physical Therapy. Burger King. Hellman Maine. Kostler and Cottle of Kearney. And Town and Country Bank member FDIC. Good luck to each and every one of you. Taking time out of your summer to be a part of such a great program is a blue ribbon in itself.
The Village Green at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village offers seniors a comfortable lifestyle in a caring community. The Village Green is designed to accommodate those who require a little extra. Apartments feature full kitchen, spacious living room, accessible bathroom, and an emergency call system. Services include a noon meal, housekeeping, and transportation. The Village Green can help you maintain your independence with services to keep you safe and healthy. Contact Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Every day, you struggle to attract new customers and keep the ones you have while keeping the business running and staying in a budget. Get noticed with help from Copycat Printing. Their design and printing teams can go big with banners, yard signs, even wraps for your company vehicles. They can make sure you stand out at a fair or convention with a booth that will turn heads. If you can imagine it, they can design it and print it. Copycat Printing, across from the Kearney Chicken Coop, or visit KearneyCopycat.com. Copycat Printing, a better idea.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live at Bandit Sports Bar and Grill. Here in Grand Island, stop by and enjoy some lunch today. The giant slice of Sax's Pizza and a soda for only $4.99. Everybody loves the Sax's Pizza here at Bandits, and it is a huge, huge piece of pizza. And, of course, you can get two pieces of pizza for $9.98 and two sodas. Doug Duda, Steve Anderson with you here at Bandits, and hopefully you can slide by and join us anytime today, whether it's happy hour, whether it's the weekend, or whether it's for lunch. The menu's rolling along here. Our Midtown Mart Cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, which Nebraska away game are you most looking forward to? 54% chose Wisconsin, 30% chose Michigan State, which I believe was my selection. Then a couple of votes in there for Iowa and Northwestern, and that's the way it went at ESPNSuperstation.com. Today we ask you, do you like the Thursday night NFL games? There's more of them now. They've expanded them. It was a novelty when the NFL Network was looking to get some football on. I don't like them. I'm not going to quite say hate, but what do you think? Do you like Thursday NFL games? Yes, no, or you'd rather see college football on Thursday night? Steve-O, you got a vote there?
I vote yay. I would like to see an NFL game one every night of the week.
I know there are definitely people like that.
You know, well, I can remember when Fridays were taboo for college football, you know, and that's kind of gone by the wayside. I don't think that you'll ever see the college ranks close the doors on that every night affair, although it's getting awful close to that. But what's going to stop them from going to a Tuesday night game, a Wednesday night game? I think the pros will stay away from Friday night. They used to stay away from Saturdays, you know, until after the conference seasons were over. But they've kind of wavered off the mark, so to speak, there. So, hey, I can't get enough football. but I can't get enough horse racing either. So,
well, folks,
I'm in dire straits this time of the year. Thank heavens I got a rotisserie baseball team to shed some light on.
Don't forget to vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question, ESPNSuperstation.com. I don't care for them because you get Jacksonville, Arizona. If they put a Seattle on, then it's against the Rams. It's never a marquee game unless it just falls into their lap later on in the season. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. But Steve, alluding to horse racing there a little bit, we've talked just about every sport here today except roller skating, which I know is going through its final time at Pershing Auditorium, I see, here this weekend, but we'll get to that later. Horse racing, and we've got a special guest.
Yeah, you know, one of the neat benefits of sharing your platform, Mr. Duda, is to be able to share a little bit of my world with your listeners, which for basically my entire life, it's been thoroughbred horse racing, more specifically Nebraska thoroughbred horse racing. And a guy that's risen once again, the cream of the crop, to the pinnacle of what's going on, not only here in the state of Nebraska, but in all of thoroughbred horse racing right now. Born and raised in O'Neill, Nebraska, just comes off his seventh trainer title at Fawner Park this past spring. It's really a pleasure to introduce you to Marv Johnson, who's speaking with us this morning from Shelbyville, Indiana. Marv, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, Steve. Happy and glad to be here.
Hey, I want to be the first public person or take the public platform of congratulating you not only on this ground-swelling performance that you continue to improve on and winning races, which this game is all about, and it's been going on for almost 3 years now, the success that you're enjoying. But 2 days ago, you celebrated your 29th wedding anniversary with your wife, Christy, and I tip my hat to you. You've defied the odds. I couldn't make it to 25, so I'm on the rebound now, and now I've got 11 put back in the holster with number two. But what a great gift you gave your wife, Marv, because you went out and won a race that same day. I can't think of a better gift.
Yeah, you know, we did. It was that made it a little more special, but yeah, you know, I mean, that the 29 years is kind of a little bit of oh, it's not all true either. I guess our oldest daughter's 31, so maybe it was a little bit of living in sin before that.
It's a family affair, Doug, when you talk about Marv Johnson with what's going on with his stable of thoroughbreds. And I've teasingly said that he's also had to waver a little bit on his loyalties to Nebraska because his youngest daughter, Taylor, is playing volleyball for Kansas State University. Marv, you got more purple in your wardrobe now than red? How do you separate the two?
Well, yeah, that's pretty special to have Taylor down there playing. But yeah, we've got quite a little bit of purple, which I didn't ever think we'd have.
Well, Marv, how's she doing since we're here in Grand Island today? And I'm sure the folks want to know, as they get ready for their season, how things are going for her.
Real well. She's coming into her last year, senior year, and I think they expect great things this fall. She's had some real good practices.
Well, let's get back to horse racing. And Steve tells me a little bit, and I don't know that all the day-to-day fans know the ins and outs and the differences when you go from track to track or specifically state to state. Do things change dramatically when you're not at Fawner Park and you're at other places, or is everywhere you go basically the same thing? You go through the same routine and the rules are the same and things like that?
Pretty much so. Everything's the same. You just you kind of have to have better horses when you leave Nebraska. You'll kind of require a cheaper type of a horse than what you would in Indiana, and so, or wherever it may be. But you just got to have the clients to help you get better horses, and that's what I guess that's what your question was to, if there's anything any different, it would have to be better livestock.
Marv, you've got some better livestock, and a lot of Indiana breds that you've bred and raised yourself that have been highly successful. I've been prepped on this next question, by the way, by the one and only Jeff Apel, who's probably standing by your side, former turf rider here at the local paper in Grand Island. He reminds me to remind you that it does take good owners to make a good trainer. Now, discuss that equation and where Jeff fits in the mix.
Well, absolutely it does. You know, you can't afford them all yourself, so you have to have an owner that, such as Jeff. He owns a fourth of a horse that we have out here and been pretty successful this year. So, yeah, that's he's celebrating, I guess you might say, with the filly that she actually ran second the other day at an $85,000 stake. So he's pretty fortunate. And then there locally you've got Monty Hinkey and Gene McLeod and several of the boys that got into the Nebraska Racing Partners deal there, Gene Penrose, and the list goes on. But wasn't for them, you know, you've got to have the owners to have the success. So big thanks and shout out to all them.
We're talking with Marv Johnson here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He continues to do great things at Fawner Park, but it's not just there. And Marv, where does the connection come? Take us general racing fans. Do you seek out the owner? Does the owner seek out you? You can't train too many, but you've got to have just the right amount of number. How does that process work?
No, it's the owner comes to me. You know, I've never, I've never been really too forward trying to hustle owners, so to speak. I mean, they need to come to me, and there's always room for a good owner and a good horse. And you have to have a balanced stable with conditions-wise, you know, maidens, non-twos, non-threes, boys, girls, allowance horses. That's what wins races is conditions, so to speak. And once you exhaust a lifetime condition, say, on a maiden, then you need to get another maiden. You'll exhaust not lifetime on a non-two, you need another non-two. And if you have good clients that are watching for those kind of horses, those kind of conditions, it works. It works well.
Marv, the guys, as we always call it, the backside of the track, the general fan does not get to see what you and your fellow trainers do on a day-to-day basis. Just kind of generally, can you tell the folks what a horse trainer does, especially during the meet, to try and get these horses on the track and get winners? What are some of the things that you do day-to-day?
Well, I've always kind of compared myself like to a football coach, basketball coach. You have to have your horse ready like an athlete. They have to be fit and ready for their first game. Only thing about the horse, they can't speak and talk and tell you where their ailments are, so you have to kind of be able to figure that out on your own, and hopefully you can help that and fix that. But pretty much so the same type of a deal as a coach. You got to have a lot of groundwork in them prior to breezes, and then it's 7 days a week, every day, morning exercises, breezes. You got to have a good feeding program, a good health program. You know, it's just all kind of, I say it kind of goes hand in hand with what a coach does.
Marv Johnson is a son and grandson of horse trainers. He's told me not that long ago that maybe his son won't follow in his shoes. He did qualify for the state wrestling tournament, goes to school up here at Grand Island Northwest High School. I like to humble you guys every once in a while, Marv, but I know, you know, the good with the bad, it's like a roller coaster ride. And right now you're riding a crescendo of success that's unmatched by anyone else who calls Nebraska home in your business. But you're currently the second leading trainer at Indiana Grand behind Tom Amos. You're mixing it up with guys like Steve Asmussen and Michael Maker. I mean, you're going against the big boys and holding your own. You've already won over $500,000 in purses this year. You're on a record-breaking pace for a single season in total in regards to earnings. And I know how humble you are as well. I've referenced this when I've written about you, when I've done features with you on the satellite out at Fonner. Do you pinch yourself every morning? Because this success now has been long-term. It's no accident what is happening. You pick up these guys here in Grand Island. You put together a bankroll of $100,000. You claim three medium-priced horses and run right back and win three straight races and have almost recouped their initial investment. I mean, this is almost a fairy tale, isn't it, at this point in your life?
You know, Steve, it is great, you know, and it is. You know, you do kind of have to stop and think, God, is this real? And it's been great. And there's a lot of peaks and valleys in this game, and so you kind of got to celebrate when you're on top of the peak because you know that downhill slope's going to come sooner or later. So, but, yeah, it's been a good ride.
Marv, I know it's hard work, but what makes it special, especially when you get to spend time at Fonner? I know you want to be successful everywhere, but when you're home, there's a chance, I guess it just has a little more special feeling. Just take us through that a little bit.
Well, yeah, it does. You know, I mean, that's home, and everybody, you know everybody, and everybody knows you, you know, so to speak, and you kind of want to do good at the home team. Just you know, it's like a home game with whether it be volleyball, football, basketball, whatever. You kind of want to excel on your home court, and then being able to be a part of the family. You know, we got my boy Ty. He puts a lot of work into it.
Marv,
and my wife. My wife. She's you know, she's the whole cog and wheel. And so, I mean, the whole deal is kind of, it's special. It's special to be able to do it at the hometown.
Marv, before we go, just a comment about the future of racing back here in Nebraska. It's still alive and kicking, and I will say that the last 3 years at Fonner Park have just increased in interest, handle, so on so forth. It's been unbelievable, and if you haven't been to the track when live racing is on at Fonner on Saturdays, you truly have missed a spectacle. Having said all that, Marv, we finally get a chance on the ballot in November to try to level the playing field so we can compete against the casinos in Iowa and go to some form of expanded gambling with these instant racing machines. And, of course, the opposition, they never give you a break. They took a swing last week right here in town on the local paper. Nebraskans for the Good Life or something to that effect, anti-everything. And, you know, I don't know what your feeling is on what might happen here in November, but at least we don't have a governor that's thrown us under the bus again. The people will have a chance to speak. What do you have to say to support what could possibly change the course of everyone's lives, especially you and your families, in this upcoming election?
That's exactly right, Steve. We finally get to let it go to the people. Let the people's choice decide. And we have to make sure that everyone gets out and votes for this. I mean, it's going to help the community. It's going to help horse racing. Everyone in Nebraska will benefit from this. So we really have to make sure we tell our fellow neighbors to go vote yes for this amendment. I mean, it's just going to be so large to stop all of our revenue going to the neighboring states and let us get some of the revenue and help the community. I mean, it's sad that it's all left, whether it be South Dakota, Iowa, wherever. But and not only that, but we have a great sport. And we can put on a great sport even better if we have the success, this will happen to make the successful racing.
Well, I know we're going to get to hear.
We have to have it, folks.
I know we're going to get to hear a lot more about this, and we'll talk more about it here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we get closer to November, because it is very important right here in our backyard at Fonner Park. Marv, it is a pleasure to speak with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I thank Steve for making the connection today, and keep winning races, and we can't wait to chat with you again. Thanks so much.
We're going to do our best, and thank you all, and y'all have a good day.
You too, Marv. Marv Johnson, outstanding. It's outstanding. Just another success
he is a Rock of Gibraltar in the history of Nebraska racing. And I've been around now for over 50 years. And just like Marv basically grew up on the backside as a kid, marveling at him from a distance for many of those years, I've always described him as a John Wayne kind of a character, because up until recently, he used to go to the track on the back of a horse with every one of his that were working out that particular morning, and he looked like John Wayne, and he's kind of like E.F. Hutton in the same regard. When Marv Johnson talks or speaks, people listen. He's what I call the consummate horseman's horseman. This guy can look at a horse. I mean, I can judge body language, whether or not the horse looks like he might be sore, he's sweating, might have a little bit of a giddy-up in his gait. You know, Marv sees something totally different, the conformation. He understands the pedigree. He can look at the head and the tail and the back of the horse, and he has this innate sense which you acquire over a course of time, but I think he was born with a lot of this. That's all part of the process that's made him so successful, especially lately. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people around Grand Island who are paying very close attention to Marv, because he has been so red hot over now a long period of time. And I just wish for a lot more continued success for him as well.
Yeah, and get another win for Lady Caroline when they go out the next time. Doug and Daddy's show winding things down here from Bandits in Grand Island. We're not done yet. Folks, remember, when you think of lawn and landscaping, the only name you need to know is Johnson Lawn and Landscaping. Everything to keep your lawn looking great all year round. They've got the rocks, the custom concrete edging, some trees and shrubs to help things out. You get both style and functionality to your new or existing landscape. They'll take care of you, serving the Tri-Cities. Go online to NebraskaLandscape.com, or you can give them a call at 237-LAWN. Call them today, and don't forget to stop into the nursery located just beside Yellow Van on 6th Street in Kearney. They're proudly landscaping Nebraska and doing amazing work at Johnson Lawn and Landscaping in Kearney. We'll be back with more from Bandits in Grand Island after this.
Just arrived at Crossroads Ford in Kearney. 2007 Kia Sportage 4x4, one owner with LX trim, just $8,900. Look at this, an 08 Cadillac SR X4 all-wheel drive, has leather and sunroof, was $9,900, now just $8,988. Here's an 08 Ford Expedition four-wheel drive, extended length, XLT, priced to sell fast, just $12,900. And just traded for a 2011 Chevy Impala LT. Own it today, just $14,500. That's Crossroads Ford, Kearney.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service, and you never, never have to sign a contract. You will get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
For lunch or dinner, it's Grand Island's best sports bar with really great food, Bandits, where you can enjoy Sax's Pizza, the area's favorite. Bandits' famous wings, Sparky, Buffalo, Sweet Teriyaki, Garlic Parmesan, and Spicy Breaded. There's Taco Chef and Chicken Salads, Meatball Subs, and an appetizer menu which includes Tim's delicious taco meat and melted cheese nachos, toasted to perfection. Weekday happy hours from 4 to 6, and all day Sunday with ice-cold 250 huge mugs and $2 domestic pints and bottles. Grand Island's best sports bar with really great food. Head to Bandits, 13th and 281. Grand Island.
Hey.
Steve Anderson back with you, wrapping things up for a Thursday Doug and Daddy show here live at Bandits in Grand Island. And don't forget, every Sunday, it's their Golfer Sunday special, and then it's their Football Sunday special, and then it's always a Sunday special, a large Saks pizza, a dozen wings, and a pitcher of beer for only $20. And as we always say, you can get two large pizzas, two dozen wings, and two pitchers of beer for $40. Enjoy it with your friends, your family, your foursome at the golf course, whatever the case may be. They're right here at Bandits, where this weekend you can also throw in the $2 Jell-O shots. Couple here to get to on the Debt Popper inbox, our emails. First off, Mark fires this in. We had Joe Wells, of course, to start the show, talking a little Legion baseball. He goes, Joe Wells? How old is that guy? He ref my final basketball game in high school, and I'm 44. Yeah. Well, Joe started refing, I think, like Brooks did when he was 12. So, you know, Joe and Wells and Wolfie, they were our favorite basketball officials when we were in high school. And I think part of it is because they were young at the time, and they did a good job and always did a good
job. Yeah, they've been around forever. And I'll tell you what, Joe just announced his retirement at the end of last football season out here at the high school. And he and his wife, Cindy, they really, I will personally tip my hat to what they've contributed to the youth of Grand Island over the course of many, many years. And Joe and his two boys, I'll tell you what, I didn't tell this story, but they're big race fans too. Huge fans. They're season ticket holders during the live racing meet. Joe and his brother Brad, his mother, and the two boys are just, you know, the acorns don't fall very far away from the tree. So about once, maybe twice a year, they'll come up to me, and they've got an itemized list. They rank their top five announcers that call thoroughbred horse races. And I need to hire these folks to be some sort of a PR arm of represent me as an agent. I've always been number one on their list, and they put me in some pretty exclusive company, you know. Tom Dirk and Trevor Denman out in California of I can go on, and I'm humbled by this. The scary thing is, I really think they mean it. Well, I've always been number one, and I appreciate that. They are a stellar family in this community, and I just want to make sure that it doesn't go unrecognized, and it hasn't, and they keep paying us back every day by still being associated with all the athletics going on in this community.
Also going to stay here on the Dent Popper inbox. Trent goes, and of course, this news came down this morning about Ray Rice. He was suspended two games. And here's what Trent says. Ray Rice suspended two games for Floyd Mayweathering his woman. That immediately brought to mind the quote from Jimmy Langan in the opening of our Doug and Daddy show, which he says, no, that's not a sin. It's just a minor sin. I don't know. Steve-O, and not just this incident, I always have just a little problem when it seems like somebody is being penalized twice. I mean, there's the letter of the law, and you serve that, and then because you're an athlete, I mean, there's nobody else that penalizes a rock singer or an entertainer. Yeah. But just because you're an athlete, then the NFL or Major League Baseball or the NBA can also penalize you. And I know in our daily, you don't have to be an athlete. I know at Fauner Park, there's probably some things that would get you in some trouble. And here with me at the radio station, there are some things that would get you in trouble. But it just, that always kind of makes the hair twinge on me a little bit when you get doubled up.
I know, but, you know, we want to hold our athletes to a higher standard, I'm not going to compromise on that end. Being a jockey at a big-time racetrack that has failed a drug test or whatever is one thing, so on and so forth. The punishment will equal the crime. But a Jameis Winston, who has made somewhat of a mockery of winning the Heisman Trophy, for example, comes back and is involved in some precarious things that, I mean, nothing goes unscathed anymore. The sports writers in my day used to sweep all this stuff under the rug. But I think they're deserving of any and all criticism, repercussions, whatever you want to call it, because they have to accept responsibility. We hold them to a higher standard, and I don't think that should ever change for athletes on any level. amateur or pro.
And don't do stupid things, too. That always helps out as well. And we, folks, what else did we miss today? Because we're warming up for Big Ten Media Days where we go from 11 to 1, so we've definitely went over today. But I can't believe this story. SheridanHoops.com, Chris Sheridan, who does a great job. He used to work for ESPN. And about a week before, in fact, it was the last time I was over here at Bandits, he was on. They were talking on Van Pelt and Russillo. He said unequivocally that he is coming back to Cleveland in LeBron James, and he did. He said, this is happening. I'm not just guessing. He goes, this is happening. And then a few days later, you go, Doug McDermott reportedly, according to him, part of a deal that Chicago would trade him along with Taj Gibson and another rookie, Nicolo Mrotic, to Minnesota to get Kevin Love, because it sounds like the Bulls and the Cavs are 1-2. If there's going to be a trade, it sounds like maybe he's going to go to one of those teams. Problem is, rookies can't be traded for at least 30 days, and after he signs his contract, he just signed it Tuesday. If you're going to make a trade, I would think it would be done well before then, unless you've made a wink-wink, nudge-nudge type of deal. But, oh, God, I hope that doesn't happen. I mean, all of a sudden, McDermott has got his dream deal. First, Denver takes him. Then he's fired up that he gets traded to Chicago. Then all of a sudden, you'd be sent to Milwaukee. That would just rip the heart right out of him.
Well, it depends on the size of that paycheck, I think.
You're going to get a paycheck anyway. I still think happy. You got to be happy in the pros a little bit. That's out there. I guess don't be surprised if something like that happens. Coach Mark Bauer and the UNK wrestling team has added 10 more wrestlers. Listen to where they come from, Steve. Hawaii, Alaska, Texas, California, O'Neill, Nebraska. That's just a few of the 10 spots that these guys are coming from. Recruiting is tough when you don't have the biggest budget in the world, and they've done such a great job, and of course being a national power in Division II, but literally Alaska, Hawaii, Texas, California, and then Joseph Gillum from O'Neill and Brady Raddick from Gretna are among those 10.
And they just get partial scholarships, right? I mean, the budget they have to recruit in comparison to what these kids get back in return is just astonishing to me at times.
And our last note here, because it has another Grand Island connection, Libby Norvell of Grand Island Senior High. There wasn't a lot of scoring in the Nebraska Coaches Association All-Star Softball game, but she did have an RBI yesterday. Dave Prokish of Northwest got to coach the red team. The Blues won both games in close fashion yesterday at the Coaches All-Star Clinic, 3-1 and 2-1. Libby Norvell, Jessica Klein of Grand Island, Shelby Shocker of Northwest among those that played. And the final round of the Nebraska Amateur is going on right now in Norfolk. Friends, David Klaus, if he wins it at age 54, would become the oldest winner of the event of all time. And Kearney Little League, they've got a little fundraiser going on, free will donation, barbecue up at Hy-Vee until 1:30 today, so slide up there if you're looking for some lunch. Help out the Little Leaguers. They'll also be selling their raffle tickets at the Buffalo County Fair tonight from 6 to 9 around the Little Big Town concert, Saturday around the Demolition Derby, and then on Monday they'll have an evening get-together at Fanatics. So if you want to help them out, you can go to their Facebook page as well to find out all the information. And Steve-O, always appreciate you giving us some time here. And let's see if we can get some folks over there to skate in the air conditioning, play a little putt-putt, huh?
It's a fun. We're an indoor sport, all right? I've given up. We'll see them in December, and we'll still be there. But as always, Doug, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to sit with you when you come over to Grand Island. You can make this a habit year-round if you choose. And I just want you and your listeners to know I can't wait to see you at the races.
Thanks, Steve. Steve Anderson, Fodder Park, Skate Island, either place, stop by, see him, say hi. And we want to thank our guests today on the Doug and Daddy Show, Joe Wells, Grand Island 5 Points, Legion Baseball, Marv Johnson, one of the leading trainers not only here at Fodder, but now, as Steve said, second out at Indiana Grand. And wrapping up our 14 teams in 14 days, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Jeff Patricus to talk Wisconsin. Nebraska is the final team as always. It's our last show before going to Chicago for Big Ten and Media Day. Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock will join us tomorrow. A half hour of nothing but Husker football. If you got a specific question, tweet us or email us. We'll also run down the American Legion State Baseball Tournaments tomorrow, Kearney, Hastings, and Grand Island. And don't forget, Bandits, National Tequila Day is today. $3 margaritas on the rocks, $2 tequila shots, and the lunch special, a giant slice of Sax's Pizza and a Pepsi for only, or your side of a drink there, for only $4.99. Doug Duda saying thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.